This is the Round 7 edition, Jimbo, and just waiting for you to flick the switch. And joining us on the line once again, I think for the first time on the Saturday Morning Footy Show for 2009, is Gary Ayres, the Port Melbourne coach. Good morning, Gary.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Very well, thank you. And it's great that I can rely on my assistant to get your number right this time. We've had it a couple of times just ringing through to disconnected numbers, which unfortunately has made it a bit hard to get in contact with you.
Yes, it always is, and I think that's what about the second or third time there, guys.
Yeah.
We've had a bit of trouble, but anyway, you got me so far away.
We will indeed. It's a big weekend for the Port Melbourne Football Club, obviously against your arch rivals Williamstown. It's going to be the big test, and everyone's looking forward to it because we know just how well the two teams have been playing so far at the start of the season.
Yeah, that's very true, and Williamstown haven't had a loss yet this year, so they're certainly in very, very consistent form, although Frankston ran them to within a goal 2 weeks ago. So we've actually had a little bit of a look at that type of matchup on that day. So you probably can't take too much out of last week's 100-point effort against Bendigo. But we believe we're a good side, and what better test than to take on the ladder leaders today on their home ground?
Well, you mentioned Frankston there. They've had a bit of a go at Williamstown, and then they had you going at three-quarter time, Gary, I'm sure. They haven't won yet, the other standalone mob, the Dolphins, but their form hasn't been as bad as what's reflected on the ladder.
No, you're correct there, and really I don't think they're too far away from notching their first win, and they were very, very good last week against us at home, and when you take into account Marigliani didn't play, Murray didn't play, and also too their ruckman Petter Whelan didn't play, it was a really good effort. But if we aim to be a really good side, we need to win home games, and regardless of the circumstances, if you find yourself behind, you've just got to keep being patient and control the game, and I thought we did that in the last quarter, and they were probably a bit tired because they'd come off a six-day break, but we kicked 6-0 in the last quarter, and we'd like to think that we were never out of the game, and you only have to get in front when the final siren goes, and that's what we've been able to do.
When you look at the departures from season 2008, Livingston, Spriggs, Luke Cotchett and Naha's doing such great work at Richmond, you look at a big experience gap leaving the football club, but then you look at the recruits and you've really managed to offside some of the departures with some handy recruits coming through the system again at Port Melbourne this year.
Yeah, we believe we have. We certainly addressed the fact that we thought the structure in last year's grand final wasn't exactly what it should be because we relied a lot on Bonadeo and Nahas and maybe Cotchett to a lesser degree. So we really had to make sure that we got Adrian Bonadeo some assistance, which we believe we have with the two DeLuca boys, to try and bolster our midfield because that's always an area of the ground that you certainly need to have a lot of personnel. Certainly Blake Grimmer, unfortunately, is out at the minute, but we know he's a very, very good player at VFL level. Nathan Batsanis has been on an AFL list as well. So we really then also had to look at, once again, trying to get a little bit of a medium-type player, and we went down the path of getting Phil Raymond, who had been on St Kilda's list. And look, those guys are all relatively young as well. So the other thing that we probably were very, very pleased about last year is we had a lot of development from within the group. Sam Dwyer played really, really well. Chris Kane played really well. Toby Pinwell. And then, of course, we got Robbie Nahas drafted. So we'd like to think someone like John O'Mullins, when he gets fit, could come in and replace Robbie to a certain extent. So we're really trying to develop that nucleus, if you like, of a good side. And if we can retain the personnel, we might be thereabouts again this year.
Well, that's exactly right. The development within, I was going to mention that in the next question here. Some of the players have really stepped up a couple of levels. One play, or two players you didn't mention there is young Hassett. I thought every time I've seen him play, he seems to be just a couple of steps further in his development. He's very good defensively and really puts his body in there where some players don't. And Jared Dalton, I think he's really starting to be that bit of a swingman for you that can play forward or back and take that third tall if he needs to.
That's why you are very good at your craft. That's why Casey Radio get a lot of listeners. You don't miss too much. You're right. Jared's been very, very good for us this year. He had to take over from Luke Livingston, as you mentioned, in that fullback position. And I just basically threw Jared the challenge, and he's been very, very solid, rarely gets beaten. So we hope that will continue today. And Paddy Hassett really has probably just been held back to a degree by reasonably long-term injuries. And once he's got himself fit, he broke into the senior side about halfway through last year, and his courage and his running of the lines and his defensive side of his game is really, really good, and I thought he was almost our best player last week against Frankston and kept us in the game early.
Now, we don't get to see a lot of Port Melbourne at the start of the season because Phil Cleary gets his mob from the ABC down there as much as he can, Gary. But in the game I did see, I was a little bit disappointed. In the bar, it was against the Bull Ants, and I'm sure you would have been as well, because all of a sudden the things that you built yourself up on a football club over the last 18 months just disintegrated. There was no team play, and they set this zone up, and it was just really stupid football at times by the Port Melbourne side, and really just kept themselves out of it by turnovers and not thinking their way out of some of the pressure provided by the Bull Ants.
Yeah, it's probably pretty accurate, and the conditions certainly were very, very windy, and we didn't adjust our game plan to those conditions, albeit that I thought the Bull Ants had a very, very strong side, and you only have to look at Carlton at the minute. Yeah. They're certainly up there as well. So that always has a bit of a flow-on effect, and guys like Hadley and Robinson and Hampson in the ruck I thought was pretty important that day. And they've got Saddington and Boundy who have been around for a long, long time in the certainly VFL and obviously AFL from Saddington's point of view. And Bentley's been a very, very handy pickup for them as well. So they certainly dominated around the middle and we couldn't get much going, even though I didn't think the loss in the end was really what it indicated on the scoreboard because they just got some goals in junk time. But
yep.
Once again, when you're actually in that position, you've got to learn. And I was very, very keen to actually see us respond the following week. And that's what I got against Geelong. We came out and I thought we played fairly well for three quarters. And even though we're five down at three-quarter time, five goals, we certainly got our game going in the last quarter and ran out and won that game strongly. So that's all you can do as a team. You respond if you lose and win the next week. And we've been able to put two together. So I think we're sitting where we need to be at this point in time, although I don't believe, one, we've got our best team on the paddock and we're yet to really hit our straps like we did last year. So as a coach, that's exciting because there's still a lot of improvement to go.
And that is exciting if there are some Borough supporters tuning in, because you're still doing enough to win. You're sitting in fourth position, and it's, I guess, that ability from the Port Melbourne experience core group that you're starting to get there in Baird and McGrath, who always step up under some pressure situations in that back half, really do push that Port Melbourne side. And I can put in Brewer there as well, because I think he's pretty fantastic off the half-back line when Port Melbourne are playing some good footy. Round one, you had the build-up to face North Ballarat, and you came out and smacked them. Now round seven, big build-up against Williamstown, traditional rivals, and obviously defeating them in the prelim final last year really does add that extra bit of spice to this matchup this afternoon at Burbank Oval.
It probably does, and certainly from a big game challenge, I'm hoping that we really look forward to this particular game. The way the guys have trained this week, it suggests that they are looking forward to it, and we're always aiming to try and challenge ourselves against the best in the competition, whether it's an opposition like Carlton who had very, very good AFL players, or whether it's Williamstown who are sitting on top of the ladder without a loss. So it gives us a fair gauge of what we have to do to actually try and match it against the aligned clubs or partially aligned clubs. So I believe I've got a very good group of players who know what football's about. They want to be better. They're not placing any restrictions on themselves and they want some sort of success. Obviously, every week the opposition changed, so why don't we just go out there today and play with some sort of freedom and be bold and take some risks? And you just don't know what you're capable of, because no one's reached their potential, as far as I'm concerned, in this group yet at all.
Well, where do you see the strong points of the Borough going up against Williamstown? You've got similar players who can play in a variety of positions. They've recruited well and have a pretty strong group of young Western Bulldogs players available for them today. But where do you see the Borough having that edge?
Well, I'd like to think our ability in the ruck, because we can throw certainly Dylan McLaren, Fabian De Luca, Adrian De Luca, and even Adrian Bonadeo as well, if we want to go down that particular path. So they've got Wade Skipper, who does the bulk of their ruck work. So certainly if we can really take that up to someone like him and give our players the opportunity through the midfield to get first use and then put enormous pressure on their defensive back six. We've obviously got to try and curtail the likes of Rose and Little from doing what they want to do, and that's control the forward line and kick goals. So could be some interesting matchups. What Brett Johnson does, whether Jason Cloke comes and tags John Baird, because that's what he did in the preliminary final.
Yep.
So we've just got to take all that into account, but I'm hoping we can get on top in the midfield with the guys that we know we've got in there who are in pretty good form in Baird, Pinwell, McMahon, Hassett. O'Keefe, I think, has been solid. And then the other guys that we can throw in as the day unfolds in Robbins and maybe a Mick Dillon, etc. So hopefully we can get them just in the volume of players we can throw through the midfield.
Well, the next month will be really interesting. You have the bye in round 11, so you'll be really trying to set your season up before then. You play Williamstown, which will be the test, but then you've got the Box Hill Hawks. You play the Pies, and just before the bye there in round 10, as I look here, you play the Coburg Tigers. So an opportunity to really get some wins on the board there and put yourselves in a commanding position when you come to the halfway mark.
Oh, most definitely. And look, we believe the draw has been challenging because we've played North Ballarat, Premiers, Casey Scorpions finalists, Bullands finalists, and then Geelong were grand finalists and Premiers the year before that. So, and then, you know, Frankston's always going to have a crack. So, yeah, we know what we're up against. We know what we're on about. We respect the opposition. But certainly by about the halfway point, it'll be interesting to see where we sit. And all you can do is try and win as many games as you can early to put a bit of pressure on to make the, hopefully, top four. And then we just wait and see what happens from there.
Momentum's such a big thing in modern-day football, Gary. Having the bye at round 11, is that like a break, or would you prefer to have the bye a little bit closer to the finals to give your boys that week off before really getting into some of that September action?
Yeah, you're probably right there. I think I'd prefer to have a little bit of a break closer to the end of the year. We go four, and then we have a break, and then we play another four, and as you mentioned, we've got a split round and a bye, so through that month of June, we actually only played two games out of four, and then we come home with nine straight games before the final. So we're going to have to manage our training and our fitness through that month of June. And certainly the other thing that we feel we've improved in this year is the depth of our list. And we've already played 31 players this year already, and we played 36 for a total of 23 games. So we'd like to feel that our depth will be tested and be used, and each one of those players will respond accordingly and give us a significant contribution because, as you know, you're probably only as good as your bottom six or seven players who will play from time to time and not necessarily every week. So we really just have to do what the draw is, and that's play when we're told to play, and we'll just play hopefully somewhere near our best every week and be ultra-competitive.
Well, Gary, I know you're busy probably getting yourself down to Burbank Oval. The final question for you this morning, it won't be related to the team at all, but we have some fun when we send down the guys to have an interview with you. You put up with Ben and Phil. Now, out of the two, who would you like to have a chin wag with this afternoon as part of the preview on our broadcast game?
Oh, well, I'll probably have to say Phil, won't I? Because isn't Ben just ironing his suit for church tomorrow? Is that right?
That's right.
Hopefully he gets there on time. He's got to be a good boy.
Gary, thank you so much for giving up your time, as you always do for KC Radio. And good luck this afternoon in the big game against the Seagulls.
It's always a pleasure, guys. Cheers.
Gary Ayres, the Port Melbourne coach, just joining us there. Got a bit of a pump-up, Jimbo. We still have Adrian Dunn to join us on the line from the Herald Sun and also from VFL Record, which I think Jim's given me the hands now. So our final guest for the morning, but no bigger name to join us here on the Saturday Morning Footy Show. Welcome, Adrian Dunn.
Hey, thank you very much for that, those very kind words.
Well, Adrian, it's been an interesting season so far to the start of the VFL season. But one thing that keeps us up to date is the VFL Record, and it seems to have gone up a couple of notches this year.
Well, once again, you're certainly no shortage of accolades for me. I appreciate that. Put you on my full-time payroll, I think.
No, but seriously, the VFL Record, we know we've spoken to you over the last couple of seasons and how much effort goes in, but the articles and just the presentation of the record's been absolutely fantastic in season 2009, and you should be congratulated on the hard work you do put in to the VFL Record.
Oh, look, I appreciate that. We've there's been a slight format change this year, as you guys would have realised. The record's downsized a little bit in the actual size of it, but we like to think the quality is as good, if not better than ever. So that's what we're striving towards.
Well, I guess some of the there's been a bit of a different turn in the way the VFL's been looked upon this year. We've got the AFL talk coming in, and the board changes, and so many new coaches and new rules coming through there. The TAC Cup. It's also a big part of, AFL Victoria's football weekend, so that hasn't missed any of your hard work there as well.
Yeah, no, there's been, as always, there's never a dull moment in the VFL, and this year's no exception. We've had a lot of controversy, a lot of sometimes misinformation as to what direction the VFL was going to take, the role of the AFL, and also the, if you like, the assimilation of the TAC Cup clubs into the VFL clubs with the, I think we saw back in round three where a TAC Cup player or a guy who was just out of the TAC Cup, age 19, could be the 23rd player, and that's only going to get stronger as the second half of the season rolls around. So I think we're going to see some pretty exciting young guys playing in the competition from here on in.
Any big articles that have featured as part of the first seven rounds of the VFL, Adrian?
Well, I think this week we feature that Jared Fitzgerald becomes the third longest serving coach in the VFL history. He passes a guy called Gordon Ogden, who held on to the third place as to the number of games coached for nearly 50 years. And Fitchie's now moved to number three, and he's in within two seasons of, if you like, reeling in Jim Cleary at number two, and then probably another three. So within about five seasons, and I've spoken to Fitchie in the record about this, he's certainly got his eyes set on claiming the record from Jim Paul, who holds the record, I think, at 313 games. So that's our main feature in this week's footy record.
Fantastic, and I try and print off the copy here from the website, and sends our computers crashing, so I have to get to the footy early to have a bit of a read of it there. But has your workload changed, or are you still dedicating as much time to the?
No, it's exactly the same as has been. Yep. I think this is my 16th or 17th season doing the footy record, and it still occupies the same amount of time and same phone calls, and that's the great thing about football, is that you get to meet and talk to a lot of interesting people. A lot of people have played the game and coached the game at much higher levels than the VFL, and who are now in the VFL doing their bit to sort of promote the competition and add to its pretty storied history.
Now, this weekend, when you look through the VFL fixture, Port Melbourne, Williamstown, you look at it and smile because you know there's going to be some sort of interesting aspect to it. It could be the presidents, it could be what's happening on the field. But
could be some dogs. The dogs are allowed at Williamstown, that's okay. It's
exactly. Exactly. So does that always add a little bit of a different
sort
of touch?
Well, it is, and that made the preview pretty easy this week. That was obviously the standout game, Williamstown and Port. I think they're up to clash number 229 or 230, going back 125 years. You can't get a more storied rivalry than Williamstown and Port, and there'll be no different today. It doesn't matter where they are on the ladder, you just know that there's going to be no holes barred, and the intensity will rise to previously unreached levels. So it's going to be a great game. Look, they think one versus four. Williamstown have got out of the blocks, as usual, very quick. Port got out the box okay, but they just don't seem to be as strong as they were last year. Maybe it's just time to sort of get themselves settled yet, but at this stage you'd have to say that Williamstown's the team to beat, and we'll get a better idea of if that's pretty much close to being correct this afternoon.
Now, Adrian, I guess in your position, working for the Herald Sun and also the VFL Record, you have contacts and you probably get information before a lot of us. The situation with the AFL Victoria Board and the AFL movement into the decision-making process for the VFL, do you see that as a threat or as a positive move for the future of AFL Victoria and where it's going with the VFL?
Well, look, I've spoken, I think we did an article with Peter Sorb a couple of weeks ago, and sometimes people jump shadows and see things that aren't there or hear things that, grow in, if you like, in myth along the way. I've got no doubt that the VFL will continue on as it is. As Peter Swab said in that record a couple of weeks ago, that the AFL's got no real interest in running their own reserves competition. They've been there, done that. That didn't work. This competition has proven successful over the past decade, and there's no reason to suggest that it won't continue.
Is there any interesting articles that we can you've got in the pipeline for us that we could be looking out for in the next couple of weekend editions?
Yeah, well, actually, and I'm sure you guys will be will have a fair say in this as the season rolls on. We're planning to do a VFL team of the decade, 2000 and 2009.
Ooh, okay.
And we're just still working out the various criteria as to player eligibility and who will be on the selection panel and that, but that's something that will feature fairly strongly in the footy record over the second half of the season as we sort of work towards who should be in the VFL Team of the Decade. We did a VFL Team of the Decade in the 1990s, which was pretty well received, and certainly I just sort of racking my brain yesterday trying to come up with a, what I think would be a pretty good team, and there's no shortage of great players who have played in the VFL and the revamped VFL from 2000 to 2009, so I think you guys will no doubt have your say as to who you think should be in the team. And
just going through some of the names in my head now.
Yeah, look, it's a really interesting and difficult process because there's just so many good players who have played along the way. And I think at this stage we're just sort of loosely saying that you have to have played as a VFL player for at least one season in the competition to qualify. And then we're sort of just fine-tuning some of the other criteria as to... who else would be eligible, whether it be AFL players who have played less than 10 games or whether it be AFL guys who have then come back and played five seasons or 100 VFL games would warrant selection criteria. So, look, it's going to be a fascinating exercise to unravel over the next 3 months to see who will be, if you like, presented with a Team of the Decade accolade at the end of the season.
Well, Adrian, thank you so much for giving up your time here to join us on the Saturday morning VFL football show. We really do enjoy the effort you do put into the VFL record, and it's a pleasure to have you on the show. Before we let you go, we always like to get a tip from you for the weekend's races. You got anything for
Yeah, no, I think we can journey up north today. I think we can the track's an absolute, I think it's rated as a heavy eight with possibility of getting worse. So I think we can stick with some trod and true mudlarks here. I think we can stick with Apache Cat and the Doom in 10,000. He's a two for two on really heavy tracks. Won this race last year by about four or five lengths. Got Damien Oliver. No reason to suggest why he won't win again today. He's around about the $3.50 mark. That's probably pretty good odds for a very good horse. And I think another absolute mudlark in race seven at Doomben is a horse called Reggie. He just absolutely eats the mud. So I think we can anchor Apache Cat and Reggie in Doomben. We can hopefully get some money for the weekend.
Well, Adrian, thank you so much for that tip. And, it'll be interesting to see your developments here with the VFL Team of the Decade. I'm going to be looking at this with some interest, and we'll probably have a chat to the boys on our preview show this afternoon and try and get some names flowing there.
I think it really is going to engender plenty of discussion, no doubt plenty of controversy, and I think it's something that we can look forward to over the next 3 months.
Fantastic. Thanks for joining us here.
Hey, guys, thanks very much for having me on the show. Really appreciate it.
No problems at all. Adrian Dunn there joining us here on the Saturday morning VFL football show. No one follows it closer than Adrian Dunn. The record's absolutely fantastic, and we're not just pumping it up there. It is absolutely a great read and a big asset to our commentary box. That is the end of the Round 7 edition of the Saturday morning VFL football show. Don't forget to tune in this afternoon from 1 o'clock for the big game, Williamstown versus Port Melbourne, and a game on Sunday afternoon VFL football here will be Werribee Tigers versus the Northern Bull Ants.